We greet you in Jesus' name this morning. We've really enjoyed our time together worshiping, and I trust that I can continue to direct our minds toward God. The subject I'd like to think about this morning, I would title The Search to Belong. There's a book by that name written about a foster boy who is searching for identity in life, trying to find out his place in life, where he fit, where he could call home, and where he could feel needed and feel was his place. Some thoughts from a friend of mine led me to this idea, and as I was taught about, I was blessed with a number of different teachings from Scripture in relation to that, and I intend for it to be a positive, inspirational message that there is a place that we belong, there's a place that we fit. And finally, if we look at it, well, in the end, we're going to look at God has a place for His people in heaven, and those that don't belong there, whether they fit together in one group or another, are not going to be there. And that's basically that's the final place that we want to belong and that we need to. But it starts out with a place that God created in men and a man and woman that God made a place for them. And He put them there. And it was beautiful. So we want to think along those lines this morning and draw some truths for ourselves. You can turn to Genesis chapter 2. I want to start there and just look a little bit how clearly it must have been to them that this was their place. This was where they belonged. This was their home. It was all right and good. Now, let's read some here and then we'll continue on. Let's read a bit here. Genesis 2. I'm going to read verses 7 through 9 and then jump down to verse 15. Genesis 2, verse 7. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward of Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it goes on, talks about the rivers that flowed through there, and describing a little bit how beautiful it was. This was a garden, a place that was made for Adam and Eve, for man. God made it for them. Now, jumping down to verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. We'll break there for a moment. Man belonged here. God had made it for him. God made it beautiful and placed all the things that were there. And God gave him a purpose for being there. God put him there with a job to do. I don't believe it was anything like the jobs that we need to do as far as work and toil and sweat. But God had a purpose for him being there. He didn't have any sense of searching to belong. He didn't have to try to figure out why he was there. It was very clear. God created him, created the garden, put him there, and he had a job to do. He was to dress and keep it. Seemed like it would have been a very beautiful, clear, there would have been a lot of meaning to living there in the Garden of Eden. It would have been a blessed time. We'll look at more parts of it. God gave him clear direction, what he can and can't eat. It was just very clear what his purpose was, why he was there, what he was to do. Everything was perfect. Now, 18 to 20 does bring in a little bit of a a sense of need into man's life. Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. So God saw that man needed something. And the next thing God did was created all the animals. Verse 19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. So God created all the animals, brought them before man, but none of them was suitable. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. So now you start seeing there's a little bit of a need. Adam was thinking a little bit about where does he belong? All these other animals, we're not told real clearly how creation was, when, and this passage doesn't clarify when male and female and when those were all made. If there was one of each animal and God produced their companion later on, or if God brought them past as pairs, how that was. But something was clearly missing, and man was searching. Adam was searching, it seems, through this passage, for someone that he could communicate with, someone he could fellowship and desire and share with. Man was created with the ability and desire to communicate with others like himself, and there wasn't any found that was like him. And so then we have verses 20 through 25. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto a man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. You see, the completeness and the perfectness that God made man, and the way he, well, the joy that was in that situation, joy that was in that place that God had placed man. Man was complete. We see complete belonging here in innocence, which speaks of a pure spiritual relationship with God. And it describes the way man had daily communion with God, the way God came and walked with man and talked with him. As we look at our day-to-day existence and we try to figure out exactly where we fit and how we belong and exactly what our place is, what our responsibilities are, what we need to do, and then you get a picture of this, you can see the perfect way that God created man and the perfect place that he put him in. Most of us, at some time or another, are not sure how we fit, where we fit, where we belong, what our purpose for life is, what group of friends we should have, and all those things. I don't know. There might be a very small percentage of people who, maybe 1 to 5% of mankind doesn't struggle with this question in much of their life, I'm not sure. It seems like there's a few people that are just surrounded with friends from the time they're old enough to know it until they just are surrounded with friends. It seems like they have life all figured out and know exactly how everything is. I don't know. Many times I think that's a front and is not quite the deep understanding of a person. But most of us, from time to time, face this question to a greater or lesser extent and are searching to belong, searching to understand exactly where we're at. And we're going to look at a number of examples here. We'll see and we'll read a little bit how Adam was cast out of the garden. And I'll tell you what, he needed to figure out where he belonged, what his place was. Now where does he go? Now what does he do? Now what is he supposed to, how are things supposed to work? And there's a number of other people through Scripture that's clearly recorded that they were searching and trying to identify where they belonged and where their place was in life. And so it's a very common demand that we face those kind of questions to a greater or lesser extent. So if you're, and maybe you're at the point in life where you have understand your situation now, but you've probably faced it at some point before or will face it sometime later. As you're growing up and you're trying to figure out where your place is in life, as you raise children, often brings different questions. After the children are gone, oftentimes it's common for mankind to have some questions about what his purpose is in life. As your life changes through the different stages like that, and as you get toward the latter years of life, sometimes some of those questions come back again. And so it's just a common thing that we face. Now, in Genesis there, let's jump down in chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. So, man was in this perfect place in the Garden of Eden. God had made it. He was there filling his responsibility. He felt fulfilled, understood clearly his purpose in life, and the tempter came along to destroy that, to corrupt that. Verse 4, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, and your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. All of a sudden, they're trying to figure out, what do we do? We have a problem here. How do we fit in? How can we hide? Where do we go? Excuse me. So we can notice a number of different things there. They had the opportunity to be as gods. They had a curiosity into the forbidden. But it's basically because of a lie. Because the devil was able to tempt them and get them to believe a lie, they lost that innocence and they lost that total sense of fulfillment. And ultimately, they had to be driven out of the garden, out of the place that was designed for them, the place that they were given. The refusal to believe what they were told of truth cemented a tragedy into the human race. It brought into the human race the question of where do I belong? And where do I go? And what purpose do I have in life? All because they believed that lie. They followed the tempter's his suggestions. Many times God has truth and brings truth into our lives in many different ways, whether it's through our parents or through the church or through government or through different authorities that are in our life. And yet, the more we buck against that and refuse that, the more turmoil it brings into our life. And the more difficulties we have, typically speaking, the more difficult it is for us to find our place. Because God has given us those authorities to help guide us and direct us. And our human nature rebels against that and reacts. And in the end, it brings more questions of where we actually fit in and who we really are. Let's read a couple more verses here. Verse 8, Genesis 3, verse 8. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. So God was coming to communicate with them just as he had done before, but it was different now. Now they didn't belong there. Now they were afraid. Now they were scared. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, the woman thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And let's jump down to verse 22, now the end of the chapter. The Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now, his search to belong had become very real. Now he needed to figure out a place to go. Now he no longer belonged. And it's so, any feelings you have like that are not new by any means. Adam experienced that firsthand after being in the blessed Garden of Eden, to be turned out of there. Where did he fit? Where was he supposed to go? Who was he? There's a lot of questions he could have had at that point. Now, let's just look at a couple different people that experienced rejection in a way. We're trying to figure out their place, figure out their place in life. And we want to learn a couple lessons from them. First of all, Cain. Just turn back another chapter here. Next chapter, verses 1 through 8. Cain faced this question. Who was he? Where was he supposed to fit? How was he supposed to please God? But he made some wrong choices. He didn't face that question right. And many people today can do the same thing, and we face the same question. Are we going to... The devil tries to take us down a wrong road as we try to answer those questions in our lives. Cain went the wrong direction. Verses 1 through 8 of Genesis 4. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten the man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstling of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. He felt rejection. He realized that he's not fitting in his place. He's not doing what he's supposed to do. He's not filling his place the way he should. And his response was to get angry at the other person. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? To fit in, to find our place, to belong, we want to be accepted. This is a lot about the words exception and accept, being accepted and or rejection. And at this point, Cain was feeling rejection, and he realized that someone else was being accepted. His answer was to get angry at them. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And then he did experience rejection of God. We can't go by our feelings. We need to be careful about our feelings. Cain allowed his feelings to dominate his life and his responses, and he wasn't following the direction that he was given, the truth of the situation, the truth that they have been told by God. There's a right way to search to belong, and there's a wrong way. And there's always a choice that's involved in how we're going to try to belong. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end is death. God has provided the right way and answers through Jesus and through His Word and through the authorities in our life, through our conscience as it's educated by God's truth. We don't need to sample evil to find our place, to satisfy our search to belong. And there's many other scriptures we could look at there. 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. There's ways to fill our place. There's ways to not just fly off and do something drastic when we're searching to find our place. We need to follow the direction that's given us in life. And biting and devouring into one another or harming someone else does not help us to gain acceptance. We know that in a general way, and yet that's a common temptation for mankind. We all come under accountability to various authorities in life's experiences, and we need to respect this order that God has created. It's part of finding our way, finding our place in life. Now, let's turn back several more chapters to Genesis 13, the story of Lot. And again, you can notice the different aspects where he was trying to find his place in life, trying to find a place that he could live. He lived and moved with his brother Abraham, his uncle Abraham, right? But that didn't always, it came to a point where he needed to find another place. Genesis 13, let's read it, verses 8 through 13. Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked, and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, I'm sure this took some time, and probably wasn't nearly as clear to Lot as it is to us. But it looks to us like Lot was giving a trade here of his godly Uncle Abraham to seeking acceptance and to belong to these men of Sodom, these wicked men of Sodom. Wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly, it says. He was trying to find where he fit, where he belonged, where he had a place, where there'd be a place for him and his flocks, where there'd be a place for him to live. We don't know exactly how that was, but surely there was a place that he could have been toward Abraham's side rather than toward toward Sodom and Gomorrah. Now let's turn back a couple more chapters. Genesis 19, verse 1. There came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. We're talking about searching to belong, searching to have a place that you fit in and find fulfillment and, you know, live your life with satisfaction. Where did Lot find his place to belong? It seems like he was right there. They found him at the gate of Sodom, in the midst of all that evil. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 says like this, and they delivered just Lot who was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. His search to belong took him to the wrong place, took him to the wrong friends, took him to the wrong group of people. He was looking that desire to fit in that each of us have took him the wrong direction. And he chose the wrong friends, chose the wrong group to fit into. Did he belong there? At first, he probably didn't feel he fit in real well. But based on the story and the way, the extent that the angels needed to go through to try to extract him from that city, he had begun to fit in there pretty well, a lot too well. Genesis 19, verses 14 through 18, some of that account. Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law after the angels warned him to get out, it's going to be destroyed. So he went and spoke to his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought him forth abroad, and he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord. And he asked to not have to flee that far. Where did Lot feel like he belonged? Where did he feel like his home was, his place? Where did he find satisfaction in life, satisfaction in living to that extent? His view of life and his belonging had become warped quite far. And he paid dearly for it, of course, in the next couple of verses, thinking especially of his wife. Verse 23, The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Lot was struggling with where he belonged and where he was identified, but his wife got to the point that she was facing a lot of the same questions, had felt like she fit in and had made that the place that she found fulfillment in life. And when she was asked to leave that, she couldn't help but look back, and she paid with her life. We don't understand God's judgment there fully, why she was judged so harshly, and yet her sense of belonging and her identity had taken her clearly to a place that identified her with the wicked and the ungodly. Now, let's look at another account. You can turn to Ruth. The book of Ruth, chapter 1. Account of some other people who were trying to find out where they fit in and where God wanted them in life. And it wasn't all their doing, wasn't all their decisions that had led them to that point. But they were at a place in life where they needed to figure that out. They needed to pick up the pieces and go on with life. Ruth chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, first of all. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, For she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. And it wasn't these people were terrible or were making bad choices the whole way through life. We don't understand fully why they left Israel, but they did leave Israel for one purpose, and that was because of the famine that was there. We don't know exactly how much they sought God's face in that departing from Israel. It seems like that may have been a bad choice, but we really don't understand that. There was at least a physical reason they'd had for doing that. They were trying to exist and find sustenance for life. They had some kind of reason for doing that, but God spoke into their lives and pulled the men out and left Naomi and her two daughters-in-law to try to figure out where they belonged and what they could do, what was their next step in life. Where were they going to belong? Just jump down to verse 7. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And we'll drop down to verse 15. Naomi talking to Ruth, and she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is going back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. The search to belong, trying to fit in, find where she would fit in, where was her place in life, where God wanted her to be. Who was going to be her friends? Where was she going to identify with? She had a vision, a clear vision, a tremendous vision of where she wanted to be, who she wanted to follow, who she wanted to be her God, who she wanted to be her friends, what country she wanted to be identified with. And I'm certain that she didn't understand at all what the extent of those decisions and what they would mean. And yet she had that as her goal in life, and she was going to follow through with that to find purpose in life. Something was telling her that her purpose and her place in life wasn't back with her people, wasn't back in the country she grew up in. Something was telling her, through faith she saw that her place, God's place for her, was with His people, with God's people. And we're not going to look and read all the verses there, but we could follow how they found their place as they went and dwelt there in Israel. Now, just interject a bit here, aside from that story, and then we'll come back to it a bit. There are times in this life that God's people will feel that they don't seem to fit in where they're at. They'll feel rejection to some extent. And that's part of this life. That's part of this, the effects of our carnal nature and sin entering into the world, and that whole spectrum that introduced to man's experience, man's existence. I'll just read several verses here. Romans 11:2 says, God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. What ye not what the scripture saith to Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. When he was speaking, well, Elijah was getting to the point where he felt like he was the only one left. And he was being rejected, and all God's people were gone. He didn't fit in this world anymore. God's people didn't fit there. They killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I'm the only one left, and they're going to kill me. What saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Elijah was trying to figure out where he belonged. And it didn't seem to him, by all appearances, that he belonged on this earth at all. It seemed like they were going to get rid of him and all the people that served God. And yet God had a purpose for him there. God's plan was for him to be there and to fill his place there. But he didn't understand it, and he was searching to figure out where his place was and what he was supposed to be doing. There's many times we face that in many different ways. And sometimes that, as we grow up through life, might be the home we grow up in. It might be as we face courtship, as we face trying to find a friend like that. It might be as we relate to other brothers and sisters and it seems like someone rejects us or snubs us or turns us back. Just many, many different times as we go through this life that we're going to feel that rejection. God's people will, even as they're following Him and serving Him faithfully. Maybe that you tried to help someone, but it was taken wrong or it didn't turn out right. Your other people are given privileges or receive through the way God works in life, have many more things than you do, or things that you wish you would have, but God hasn't given them to you. There's many different ways, and unknowingly you see those things and struggle with that. Search to belong. Where do we fit in? How it makes us ask those kind of questions. It makes us try to evaluate where is our place in life. And yet, God does have a place. And people, as they face those kind of questions, turn to many different things, many different wrong things, turn many different directions. Some people go after drink, and after immorality, and after all kinds of addictions, and clothing, try to impress people or gain acceptance by the way they dress or by putting on a front or by doing many wrong things, doing many things they wouldn't otherwise do. And sometimes the frustration of that, they get to the point where they take their own life or the lives of others. I mean, it drives people. It can drive, if you follow that through and let that become the driving factor of your life, it can drive you to terrible extremes. Search to belong. Where do I belong? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And finally, He is where life began, and our life began and has purpose and meaning, and where we will finally find purpose and fulfillment in eternity if we end up with, as we do the things He's asked, and He's promised to accept those that accept Him. And so we can find acceptance and fulfillment as we follow through on that. Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. So there's peace and contentment and fulfillment in life as we follow God's, plan. Now just back to Ruth a little bit in verse 22, Naomi returned. And Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. They were trying to find their place, trying to find a place for them, a home that they could fit in and that they could live. Chapter 2, verse 11, on down, has the account of how they gleaning, trying to find food, trying to find the necessities of life, and God worked through that and helped them to understand and find their place. God had the place all along for them. God had the exact purpose and place in life, and he had they were to be a keystone in his plan to bring a Savior into the world. He had that all planned out, but they had no idea. And yet he helped them as they followed his will to fill that place and to find tremendous fulfillment in life as they filled that place, as they followed him. Followed his will, his direction in faith, not knowing what it would work out, what it would mean, and yet they followed that. We could look at the account of Simon Peter as he, in Luke 22, and we're not going to turn there. Jesus was asking him to commit himself, to follow him all the way. He said, "You're not going to be faithful." He's like, "Yes, I certainly will." But when it came down to it, let me just turn there and just, you don't need to turn there yourself, but let me just turn there so I get my thoughts straight. Luke 22. And the Lord said unto Simon, "Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." He had a commitment. He had a strong commitment to follow Christ and to fill his place properly. When the test came, he had a little more difficulty. They took Christ away and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, they were set down together. Peter sat down among them. But certainly he beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." Talking about the search to belong, who we're going to identify with, where our place is. He was being challenged of who was going to be his friend, who he was going to stick with when the test came. And he didn't pass that test the way he could have. As he went on through life, he did pass the test. He did identify with Christ clearly and stood out with him. And yet, some of those tests are difficult. And we face those tests of who we're going to identify with, who are we going to be with? Where do we belong? Did Peter identify with Christ and what he represented and the persecution that he was going to endure? Or was he going to identify with those, quote, godly people that were there judging and condemning Christ? Let me turn to one more passage, Philippians 1, 21 to 26. Well, I don't think I have that right. It's probably different. But it's the Apostle Paul. And he was speaking about the end of his life and where he was identifying. He had faced those kind of questions of who he was going to identify with, where his place was. But he had gone through life, he had given himself to the cause, and he was ready to die. He was ready to commit his entire life to serving Christ. That was where he belonged, and he wanted to follow that through to the end. Abraham, in Hebrews 11, verse 9, by 9 and 10, "For he, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God." Abraham wasn't looking for Sodom. He wasn't looking for necessarily just the green pastures. He was careful not to identify with those who were working against God. But by faith, he identified, he found his place in life, His search to belong took him to identifying with God. Even though he didn't know where that was, where that was going to take him, that's where he was going to be. Revelation 1:7 says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Even so, amen. And then let's turn to Revelation 20. I want to read a couple of verses there. Just thinking about search to belong, where do we belong, who are we going to identify with? And in this life, it seems like many times God's people are the ones that are on the outside, aren't sure where they fit, aren't sure, don't have as many friends maybe as some of the others, aren't as popular as some of the worldly people, and yet many times that's such a mirage. Revelation 20, verse 10. "And the devil that deceived him, them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." They didn't belong there. They didn't find a place to belong in heaven. The devil wasn't there. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up their dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works." Question is, where do you belong? Who do you identify with? Who did you identify with in this life, in life? "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now jump back to 22:17. These were the people that did belong. Revelation 22:17, "The Spirit and the bride said, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things..." Okay, I want to just jump down to verse 20. Let's just drop down there. "He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Our search to belong. Who do we identify with? Where do we fit? Those kind of questions we face in life, you face from time to time. Be careful to identify with the one who will open that book, and be careful to identify with those whose names are written in that book. In this life, it's not always clear. It doesn't seem like that's always the place we want to be, but it is. Finally, we want to belong to that group, not to the group that's rejected. Let's face rejection in this life if we need to.